Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, because we've all got at least one relationship that makes us crazy, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a must-have resource from Pastor Rick Warren called the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook. If just surviving your relationships isn't good enough for you, then go ahead and take a sneak peek at this powerful DVD-based Bible study while you're listening to today's broadcast. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Breaking Free from Abuse.
Everybody has a sinful nature. I do, you do, everybody does. We're all born with an innate ability to do the wrong thing. And because of that, because sin entered the world, everything in the world is broken. The weather's broken. The economy's broken. Every family is broken. Every body is broken. Every relationship is broken. And that's why we're doing this series on how do you deal with the brokenness in our relationships. On You Make Me Crazy. How do you make a relationship healthier and stronger? This weekend, I want to deal with a very, very sensitive issue. It's a silent subject nobody wants to talk about, but it's an issue we need to talk about when we deal with broken relationships. And that's the issue of abuse. Physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that in the last days that abuse is going to rise, that it is going to increase in its prevalence. And of course, we're seeing that all around. As our culture decays, as people live more and more for themselves and less for God, and we lose our spiritual roots, abuse is at an all-time high. And let me read you some pretty sobering statistics. The leading cause of injury to women now in the world, the leading cause of injury to women is domestic violence in the home from somebody she already knows, somebody in the family. It's more than the next three causes of injury combined: accidents, mugging, and rapes. It's the number one cause of injury to a woman in the world today. Every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is assaulted or beaten. Every 9 seconds. Around the world, one in every three women has been beaten, coerced into sex, or abused in her lifetime. That's incredible. One in five teenage girls have been in a relationship already where the boyfriend threatened violence or self-harm if they broke up. And in one recent survey, 92% of all women surveyed listed reducing domestic abuse and sexual assault as their top concerns. Now, this one's got to surprise you. The University of New Hampshire just did a 32-nation study, and they found that women now commit half of all partner violence. It's not one-sided anymore. And they are just as likely as men to, quote, commit emotional abuse, but male victims report it even less than women, because women don't tend to report it. Another statistic, America has 3 times more shelters for animals than for victims of domestic violence. Now, physical abuse, sexual abuse, those are pretty easy to identify. It's much harder to pin down emotional abuse. How do you know if that's emotional abuse or not? It's much more subtle. People make far more excuses for the emotional abuse that goes on because you can get away with it a whole lot easier. But the Bible is literally filled with examples of abuse, sexual, physical, verbal, and emotional. Let me just show you a couple of examples here on the screen. Genesis 16, the Bible says Sarah, that's Abraham's wife, Sarah was abusive to Hagar, and so she ran away. Did you know that? She was so abusive to Hagar that she ran out of the house. She left the home, ran away. 1 Samuel 25:17. This is Abigail's husband, a guy named Nabal. And Abigail says, he's a bully who won't listen to anyone. By the way, he was an alcoholic too. And was drunk when he was saying the stuff he was saying. In Job chapter 19, Job talks about his tormentors, those who are abusing him. And he says, why do you keep tormenting me with such words? This is verbal abuse. Why do you keep tormenting me with such words? Time after time, you insult me and you show no shame for the way that you abuse me. Now, the reason we need to deal with this is because the damage to abuse is a lifetime damage unless you learn to deal with it. I want to share with you a message of hope today so that no matter who you are, what you've been through, or what you've experienced in the past or currently experiencing, you can break free from it and you can recover from it. If you don't, you will carry the pain of that abuse for your entire life. That is unnecessary. I don't want you to do that. You don't want to do that. And so we want to talk about how to be free from abuse. You know, a recent government study, the U.S. government, did a study of people in their 20s. And they discovered that of people in their 20s, 80% of those who had been abused as children were still in their 20s, carrying that pain and had one or more emotional dysfunctions because of unresolved pain from the abuse in their life. And anyways, it's kind of like Job says in this verse here on the screen, Job 30, verse 27, the churning inside me never stops. If you've been abused, you know what I'm talking about. The churning inside of me never stops. Each day confronts me with more suffering. Now, given the statistics that I just read, there's no doubt either A, you've been abused at some point in your life, or B, you know somebody that you care about who has been abused. Either way, you need to know the steps to breaking free from abuse and recovering from the pain of it. Now, there's no single passage in the Bible that says, here are all the steps. But there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of examples in Scripture and dozens and dozens and dozens of verses that deal with the principles on what we must do when we have been abused by somebody else. So I want to share these seven steps with you today. How do I help someone break free from abuse? Let's get right into it. I've put these kind of in an order, taking verses from all over the Scripture that deal with this subject. Number one, the first step in breaking free from abuse, whether it's sexual or physical or verbal or emotional, is this. Don't keep it a secret. Nothing's going to happen till you take step one. Don't keep it a secret. Now, it is the most common thing in the world when someone is abused to say, I'm not going to tell anybody about it. But the Bible says you got to share your pain with somebody you trust who can help you break free from it. You don't want to hide it. You don't want to conceal it. You don't want to pretend it's not there. You don't want to fake it. You don't want to ignore it. You don't want to close your eyes to it. What you need to do is you need to talk about it. Now, one of the sayings we use in recovery all of the time is, I'm only as sick as my secrets. And that's true. Our sick secrets make us sick. And the way to deal with that illness is to let it out. You've heard me say this before. You might write it down again. Revealing my feeling is the beginning of healing. Whatever emotion I've got inside of me, it may be worry, it may be fear, it may be boredom, it may be anger, it may be loneliness, it may be depression, it may be anger, it may be resentment, it may be jealousy or envy or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is that's dominating my life. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. If you can't talk about it, it's already out of control in your life. If you're afraid to talk about it, it's already dominating and controlling your life. So the starting point is don't keep a secret. You got to share with somebody, somebody who can help you break free from this. Now, Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth will what? Set you free. The truth will set you free. And the way we get free from the truth is to first face it. And that means to admit it, to open up. I said earlier, abuse is often called the silent epidemic, because it's the big pink elephant in many, many marriages that nobody wants to talk about. It. It may have been in the family you grew up in. It may be in the family that you're in right now. But we just don't want to talk about it. And people suffer in silence. One national study did a 10-nation study. They studied 10 different nations. And they discovered that depending on the country which you live in, between 55 to 95% of women who've been abused by their partners have never told anybody. Between 55 to 95% have never told anybody. And they discovered that men are even less likely to talk about it or to get help. You see, what happens is abuse has a crazy thing in our mind. It has an amazing way to create shame in us. And we don't want to talk about it. Now, if you don't get anything else that I say, I want you to hear this. If you have been abused as a child or as a teenager or as an adult, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Yeah, but it's not your fault. You are not responsible for the wrong, sinful actions of somebody else. But it's not your fault. The abuser must accept responsibility for their actions, his or her actions. It's not your fault. Now, we're going to look at King David today, because if anybody understood abuse, it was King David. In the Old Testament, King David, who wrote most of the book of Psalms, spent much of his life dealing with abuse, because there were people who wanted to hurt him. There were people who wanted to kill him. There were people who wanted to abuse him. There were people who wanted to defame him. There were people who wanted to ridicule him, who wanted to discredit, all kinds of different abuse. And in over 100 passages in the book of Psalms, David expresses his hurt, his frustration, his fear, his depression, his anger at his enemies. He uses the word enemy or enemies over, I think, 92 times in the New International Version. And he talks about the abuse that they heaped on his life, most of his life. I'm going to show you a few examples in just a minute. But one of the things we learn from David right off the bat from modeling it in the Bible is this: don't hold it in. You've got to let it go. You've got to talk it out. You can't keep it a secret. Let me give you an example. Psalm 39, verses 1 to 4, David explains what happened when he tried to keep it a secret. David said, I said, I will not say anything while evil people are near. So I kept quiet, not saying a word. But my suffering only grew worse. And I was overcome with anxiety. And the more I thought, the more troubled I became. I could not keep from asking, Lord, how long will I live? When will I die? Tell me how soon my life will end. Now, this is a classic response to abuse. Classic response. So I want you to notice the four things that happens when you hold it in. First, he's afraid to talk about it in the presence of his abusers, those who perpetrated the abuse against him. He said, I will not say anything while evil men or people are near. He said, I'm afraid to talk about this while these people are near. It might hurt me more. I don't want to talk about it. And this is so typical. He's afraid to talk about it in the presence of his perpetrators. Second, his silence make it worse. He said, I kept quiet, not saying a word, but my suffering only grew worse. And those of you who've been abused and have kept it a secret, you know what it did. in your life. And then he says, it internalized, that pain internalized into panic. He said, I was overcome with anxiety. This is classic. As your pastor, I've talked to so many people who came to me saying, Pastor Rick, I'm having panic attacks. I'm overcome with worry. I'm anxious all the time. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. And when we begin to talk, I discover the problem is not fear. It's not anxiety. It's not panic. It's the pain from an abuse that has been pushed down, pushed down, pushed down. And David says this. He said, I was overcome with anxiety. And when you deal with the root issue and you deal with that pain, the anxiety vanishes. It just goes away. And then it says, he said, I was overcome with anxiety. And the more I thought, the more troubled I became. And I started asking, how long will I live? When will I die? How soon will my life end? He begins to be obsessed with death. This is typical for many people who have been abused. Abuse can actually lead to considering suicide because people think it's the only way out. I'm trapped. I'm abused and I can't get out of it and I have no power and I can't. The only way to do it is just to take my life. This is classic. Now, I want to say this to you as your pastor who loves you. If you are feeling this right now, God cares about it. This church cares about it. I care about it. And there is hope. And you don't have to stay in that cycle of pain, anxiety, fear, and death's the only way out. There are other ways to deal with this issue. But first, you got to stop being silent. You got to speak up. You've got to get it out on the table. You've got to deal with it and bring it into the light. Number two. The second thing the Bible teaches us to do is name the abuse. Give it a name. Name the abuse. You need to identify it. You need to be specific. You need to recognize it. You need to call it what it is. You have been sinned against. You have been abused. Now, you may need some help from somebody else at this time. And this is why you need to share it with somebody else who you can trust, who's wise, where you in a safety of an environment can talk to somebody who is going to love you and support you unconditionally and help you look at this thing the way you need to see it. When people are abused physically or emotionally or any other way, they often don't spot it. They, because I'm too close to the situation, they can't see what's really going on. Particularly in emotional abuse, you may have had parents or a partner or a peer or somebody abuse you emotionally over and over and over, and you're still not getting it. You're not seeing it. Somebody else was going to have to, from an objective standpoint, help you spot it. Now, I spent the better part of this week studying the book of Psalms in detail, finding over 100 different references to different marks of emotional abuse. I don't have time to go into all of those. So I've boiled it down to 8. And I've put 8 verses here on your outline that show 8 common characteristics of emotional abuse. I want you to write a word next to each of these sentences because these are the hallmarks of emotional abuse. If these are in your life, you're being abused. All right? David's descriptions, when he uses the word enemy or enemies 92 times, here's what he says they do. The first thing in Psalm 102, verse 8, he says, my enemies taunt me day after day. They mock and curse me. Circle the word taunt. He say, they're always picking on you. They're always provoking you. They won't leave you in peace. They're constantly taunting you. What this is, here's the word to write down, is aggravation. Aggravation is the first common characteristic of emotional abuse. You just get aggravated at people because they're taunting you all day. They mock you, they curse you, they taunt you. They're picking on you, they're provoking you. They won't let you alone. They're always picking at you. That's aggravation. The second characteristic is intimidation. Intimidation. That's emotional abuse. Psalm 109, verse 20, he says, they tell lies about me and they threaten me. Circle that. They threaten me. That's intimidation. When you have people in your life who are always making threats, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to walk out on you. Why, if you do that, you don't know what. And they're always threatening you with violence, threatening you with leaving, threatening you with a lawsuit, threatening. This can happen at work. It can happen at school. It can happen in your neighborhood. It can happen in your home. When people are threatening you, they are emotionally abusing you. It's intimidation. They're always making threats. They try to scare you into compliance. They try to pressure you into compliance. That is intimidation.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or a relative you see at every family get-together, a crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why you need the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit. In it, Pastor Rick Warren brings sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. In this powerful DVD series, Rick shows you how to be wise in relationships, how to recognize who's pushing your buttons, how to resolve conflict, how to break free from abuse, how to escape the people-pleaser trap, and how to keep the crazy makers from driving you crazy. The You Make Me Crazy Study Kit is perfect for you, your family, or small group. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the You Make Me Crazy 6-Session DVD and Workbook Study Kit. You can go to PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Google+ or Instagram. By the way, I'm on all of these, and you can follow me on any of these. Let me know what you think of this broadcast. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.